expecting from us and expecting from our lives today. We've been teaching on the topic of Jesus on the mountain from Matthew chapter 5. And today I just really want to talk to you about your role as a disciple. Anybody here saved? Amen. Do I got one or two that's saved?
Amen.
Hallelujah. There's a lot of amens here today. Your role as a disciple. You know, there's something really deep in my heart. I just want to just say, you know, even apart from the message today, listen, the signs all around us, folks. The signs all around us. You know, remember the story of, who was that? The flood. Who was the flood guy?
Noah.
You know that, huh? You remember the story of Noah? And the people had got so wicked. You know, they didn't get wicked because they were bad people. They got wicked because they were following the wrong voices. They got wicked because they were submitting to the will, the way, and the word of the devil. And so what God did, he spoke to a 500-year-old man. 500. Everybody say 500.
500.
Make that real in your spirit. And he said, listen, and it had never rained before. And he said, go build me a boat. Now, the boat that he talked about building about the size of a football field. Now, how in the world you tell a 500-year-old man to take on that kind of task and for the reason that he don't even know because he'd never seen rain? But things had gotten so wicked that God said, I'm going to just wipe them out. But I'm going to save that family that have my heart. Mm. That's a powerful thing, folks.
Amen.
It's just a powerful thing. So Noah and his wife and his children and their spouses, you know, they got saved. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, listen to me now. The Bible talks about as it was in the days of Noah, or even in the days of Lot, same thing. You and I are living in a situation where it has gotten that bad. You better open your eyes. The devil wants us to play church at somebody's building. But you need to tell the devil, I'm not doing that. I'm going to just hear God's voice and just follow his directions and take him, do whatever God tells me to do and go wherever God tells me to go. Say whatever God tells me to say. Things have gotten so bad out there. It's crazy. Persecution is at our doorsteps as Christians. Now, if you're not a Christian, this don't refer to you, amen? If you're just one of those religious folks that just goes into a building for a service, let me tell you something. When I was drinking, I went into a building for a service. Probably every Friday night I did that, or whenever I could. Let me turn this phone off before it goes off. And it was a whole bunch of other folks in that service having a really good time. See, we don't think about it, but the reality of the culture in which you and I are living in, a whole bunch of folks go into a building on Sunday morning. You know what they're looking for? They're looking for a good time. That's what they're looking for. They're looking for somebody that'll preach them, make them shout. They're looking for some music, some noise that'll make them clap their hands, make them dance. I did all of that in the bar. I clapped my hands. Come on now. I shout and I danced. I drank and did whatever other folks in that building was doing. You say, well, preacher, what are you trying to tell me? I'm trying to tell you, you better wake up. You better wake up. And I'm not just saying that to this group that's in this room here this morning. You know, we televise these messages, and I'm just saying it to whoever listened to them. You better wake up. The devil will have you going after all kinds of crazy stuff. Now he's got men going after men. Got women going after women. He's got confessing Christians going after money, living for money. He's got all kinds of crazy stuff going on right now. And the culture is such to where it's almost just like Noah days or just like Lot days. And the folks think that that's all right. That's not all right. That is not all right. If you're not hearing God's voice, if you're not doing, listen to me now, if you're not doing what God tells you to do, then you're your own God. We better wake up, folks. We better wake up. We better wake up. Sometimes people go to church and say, well, I always want people to see me go to church. Nobody cares if you go to church. Are you with me?
Amen.
We need to understand that there's a reality. Listen, that we call salvation. And when you get saved, something changes on you. The Bible says if a man be in Christ, he's a what?
New creature.
You think God was just joking when he said that? No, he wasn't joking. When you get saved, not because you made it happen or you want it to happen so bad. No, when you get saved, God comes in and he changes you. And the things that you used to do, you can no longer do them. I'm not saying you can't physically do them. Yes, you could physically do them. But when you say that thing will hurt your heart so bad, you'll be crying all night. Been there, done that. But if you ain't saved, you'll do whatever you want to do. And it won't bother you. Look at the times, folks. All you got to do is turn your TV on. Listen, come on, look, turn your TV on to some news channel. See what all's going on in the world. This is foolish. It's crazy. It's crazy. For the last 3 years, listen to me now, we have allowed over 8 million people to come across our border with no problems, pay for their hotels, put them on a bus, pay for their meals. And we think that everything's going to be all right. You know, just this morning, I was looking at a news from yesterday. And they were showing a group of Chinese men. They didn't have coat and tie on, but they had nice clothes on. They had one, you know, these $20 and $30 and $50 shirts on and nice pants on. And they had suitcases at our border. These are poor people. So you got to ask yourself, why are they coming?
That's right.
Why are they coming? Mm-hmm. Why are they coming? Why are they coming? Now, I don't want to direct your attention to Chinese people, but I want your eyes to open up to what's happening so you can stop playing games. Amen. Stop it. This thing is real. And I'm just using this as an example. Now we've got Chinese men, middle-aged men, flying from China into Mexico, staying in some of the nicer hotels, and then coming, sneaking across the border. Something wrong with this picture. Something wrong with this picture, folks. And if we think that America is going to stay the same, that you've known America, then we're just as crazy as a belly ball or something. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying wake up. Wake up. Wake up. The rapture may take place any day. And you better not get mad with God because you don't go.
That's right.
God said the preacher told you to get it right. He told you to get it right. God's not asking any of us to recite 50 Hail Marys or to do tumble set in the streets, buck naked. All he's asking us to do, listen, is to come to God and ask, you know, confess your faults and ask for forgiveness.
Amen.
And then invite Jesus Christ into your life. Why? So that that change can take place. If you're going to somebody's church week after week after week, but there's no change in you, stop believing the lie that you're saved. You're not saved. Are you with me? All you is a building goer. Now, let me tell you something. I done been on both sides of this thing. I've been inside church buildings, and I've been inside of bars. They're all buildings. And I can tell you from experience that you will have more fun inside the bar. So why you go to church if you're not going to be saved? Are you with me? Unsaved people that go to church are going to wind up in hell. So if you're going to wind up in hell, why not have some fun? That makes sense to anybody. That makes sense to me. If I'm going to hell anyway, I'm going to be a happy hell goer. Wake up, world. That's all I'm saying. Wake up. Wake up and realize what the devil has done to us and is doing to us, those that will let him do it. Now is the time to give your life to Jesus Christ and let him just change you. And then go on about God's business, whatever that is. Whatever that is. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to take a look just briefly this morning at our role as disciples. Now, this is once you get saved. Now, you can't carry yourself any kind of way. You can't do it. Our problem a lot of time is that we want to please people more than we want to please God. Folks come around that, listen, you get saved and folks come around that you want them to think good of you, you change. All of a sudden, you start talking like the people in the streets.
Amen.
Come on now. All of a sudden, you start condoning stuff that you know God wouldn't want you to condone. No, no, you got to be the same all the time. You say, well, why I got to be the same all the time? Because the God that you're talking about you serving is the same all the time. He's the same all the time. Come on, he's the same all the time. Not once, listen, not once when I was drinking did I hear God's voice say, hey, Dan, won't you meet me at the club? He never told me that. But the devil told me that a lot. God never changes, so we should never change. If we are to live this faith walk, as part of the body of Christ, we must be constantly, and I say constantly, reminded of the things that our Lord Jesus said. And I want to take you to Matthew 5, verse 1 and 2. In Matthew 5, verse 1 and 2, it says, and seeing the multitude, Jesus went up into the mountains. We're talking about a sermon on the mount. And when he was set, his disciples came into him, not those 12 that you're used to thinking of disciples, it was thousands, thousands of people that followed Jesus at the time. And he opened his mouth and he taught them. He began to teach them what they needed to know as his disciples. So many of us, all of us, need to know more than what we know now. So God is willing and able, listen, and has prepared to constantly teach us more than we know now. Thousands up on that hill, now for the very first time, if you can imagine this with me, thousands all of a sudden would know for the very first time what the kingdom of God is like. Because that's what Jesus was telling them on that mountain, is what the kingdom of God is like. Are you sure you want to be saved today? Are you sure? Are you sure? Are you sure you don't want to just go on back or whatever? Are you sure you want to be saved today? Amen. Hallelujah. God is a good God. All the time. I want to talk about the need for today's population to know about the kingdom of God. Wickedness has increased itself so much and so rapidly in our culture. It is really, really crazy. It is really, really crazy. Hallelujah. Right? Listen. Right. For the last 50 years, just in America alone, we have killed over 65 million babies. That's a lot of babies, folks. 65 million that we know of that's been counted. Now, you know it's been more than that. How do you justify to a righteous God the killing of 65 million babies? What we're doing today is nothing new. All you got to do is read the Old Testament. and see how those people were sacrificing their babies, throwing them in the fire for their own pleasures. But that's what we're seeing today. And now they want to talk about, well, okay, we won't let it go all the way to full term before you can have an abortion. North Carolina is trying to push it to 12 weeks. They say, okay, if you're going to abort the baby, abort them in the first 12 weeks. How foolish. How foolish. Now, I got to get away from that word abortion and substitute it with the word kill. So it's almost like passing the law saying, if you're going to kill your baby in the womb, then kill the baby during the first 12 weeks of pregnancy. See, nobody's going to say that. They're going to use that word abort. Now we're living in a culture where for a full month, for a whole full month, our nation is celebrating homosexuality nationally. For a whole month. We've come a long way, folks. We come a long way. We just come a long way. Homosexuality is not something new. It's been around all the time. But even when I was a child, let me tell you, if you were a little bit different, I mean, you didn't go around bragging about it. You just kept it in your own little house. Hello? You just met your friend in secret. You don't go around here bragging about it. You don't tell them what you get. You go around here bragging about it. But now you and I are living in a day and time where as a culture, we're celebrating it. We're celebrating it. We're not only celebrating homosexuality. And this message is not about sexuality, homosexuality. It's about how we're moving toward more and more darkness. Just like the days of Lot. Just like the days of Noah. And we don't see it because we're so busy doing whatever it is we're doing. We don't see it. We don't see it. This thing is just so crazy, folks. It is just so crazy. And now we're trying to legally change the sex of little children. Physically. And we're trying to do it without the agreement with their parents. You think we're not living in some dark days? You better get ready for the rapture. This thing could happen any single day. Now, during that Sermon on the Mountain, while Jesus had him up on that mountain, he taught us that as disciples, we got any disciples here? Just say amen if you're saved. He says that as disciples, we must serve in two main roles in our society. He said, you and I must be two things to our society. We must be salt and we must be light. Are you with me? Amen. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, listen, you can't be around here confessing salvation and then live in any old kind of way. Chances are you don't have what you think you got in the first place. But if you're going to be saved, listen, be saved. Jesus said, I want you to be salt and light to wherever it is you're living. Amen. As one of mine. Hallelujah. First of all, he said he wants us to be salt. And I want to take you to Matthew 5:13. In Matthew 5:13, he was telling his disciples on that mountain. He said, listen, you are the salt of the earth. Now, we can stop right there. Now, whatever table you're sitting at, if you raise your hand and say that you're saved, listen to me now. You are the salt of your environment. Amen. You are the salt for your children. You are the salt for your parents. You are the salt for your uncles and your aunts. You are the salt for your co-workers. You are the salt. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anybody here ever cook grits? Amen. Let me say it. You can cook, and when I cook, I just cook a little bit of grits just for me. I don't cook a whole bunch of grits. But you can cook a small pot of grits, let me tell you something, and it'd be right for you. And don't put nothing in it, just nothing at all in it. And when you taste it, it's just bland grits. All right? Listen, you can't change the taste of those grits by putting a pinch of more grits in the pot. It won't change. It won't change. It won't change. But you can just put a pinch of salt in that thing. And the whole pot's different. The whole pot's different. Folks wondering around here, wondering why the whole family is crazy. Come on, there ain't no salt in it. Are you with me? There ain't no salt in it. Somebody got to be the salt. Does that make sense to somebody? Somebody got to be the salt. It's got to be the salt. So I celebrate when I see families that are saltless when one person in the family gets saved, because I understand what that does. That changes the whole thing.
Amen.
That changes the whole. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know for a fact. Listen, let me tell you, I say I know for a fact, but I just believe it for a fact. Amen. After I got saved in my family, hallelujah, I think others got saved. I think, listen, I think folks saw something.
Amen.
And they say, all right, I'll take that.
Amen.
My family was not a holy family by no means. Not at all. But when one and two and three start getting saved, it seemed like everything changes. Everything changes. Now, everybody in my family is not saved as of today. But because there's salt in the pot, it's just a matter of time. It's just a matter of time. I have no idea how a little pinch of salt,
come on,
could touch all the grits in the pot.
Yeah.
But somehow, somewhere, that whole pot of grits gets salted. Some way. Don't ask me to explain that. I can't explain that. How can that little pinch of salt touch every grain of grits in the pot? How? But it does. It does. Because every fork of grits that you put in your mouth is going to taste like it's got some salt in it. That thing blows your mind. Hallelujah. Jesus said in verse 13, he says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost his savor, what does that mean? I mean, you get saved, but then you start acting like you aren't saved. You're not going to attract anybody to God. You're not. He said, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? How are you going to be salted again? It is then forth, once it gets to that point, he says it's good for nothing. You're just waiting to go to hell. We don't like to even talk about hell. Because we want everybody to think that we're going to heaven. You're not going to heaven, you're not saved. Will I go to church? You're not going to heaven if you're not saved. Will I read my Bible? You are not going to heaven if you're not saved. Will I sing hymns? You are not going to heaven if you are not saved. You remember those people that came up to Jesus and said, Jesus, we did this for you and did that for you? Jesus said, depart from me. I never knew you. You were just doing that for your own self. He said, people that lost their saltiness, they're good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. You're good for nothing. This thing of salvation is so important, folks, as disciples. There's a way that we're to carry ourselves. There's a way that we're to affect the environment in which we live. Let me tell you about salt and why he was talking about salt in this passage. It says, when salt was collected from the Dead Sea area, some of it was good for salting and for cooking, but some of the rest of it had lost its saltiness. So what'd they do with it? That salt was not thrown away. They didn't throw it away because it wasn't salty. It was stored in Jerusalem's temple. And when the winter rains made the marble courtyard slippery, it was spread on the floor to reduce the slipperiness. Therefore, salt that has lost its saltiness was used to trodden under the foot of men.
Oh, okay.
you're going to be salt, be salt. Amen? Amen? And for those Christians that have confessed in salvation, but you're back and forth, depending on who you're sitting around the table with, you better make up your mind. It's like those 10 virgins. Remember the story of the 10 virgins?
Yes.
You better get ready. We need to start acting as if the rapture is going to be next Saturday. No, I take that back. We need to start acting like the rapture is going to be tomorrow, Monday, so that you act right today. A lot of days in between today and Saturday. But tomorrow is just tomorrow. We're to be salt in our environment, folks. Come on now. It's too late for those messages that make us feel good. We need to get on the job with this thing. We need to start hearing God's voice and doing exactly what he told us to do. It is also possible that salt means that these people serve as a preservative against the evils of society. What people? The people that have gotten saved. The people that have become salt in the eyes of God. You are the salt of the earth to preserve it from what? From corruption, to season its dullness, to freshen and sweeten it. In other words, you are to make your whole environment different.
Amen.
Different. Different. Just different. Totally, totally different. Not too long ago, Sister Neva and I were in a room with a bunch of folks, and many of them were not saved. And soon we walk in there, the whole atmosphere changed. Folks don't know me like that. The whole atmosphere changed. It's just change. Why? Because we're salt. We're salt. You're salt. And the atmosphere should represent saltiness and perseverance and being preserved in the hearts and the minds of the people. God is a good God all the time, folks. Salt speaks of inward character. What's inside of you? You can tell folks I'm saved all you want. But unless the inside of you has changed, people can see. People are not crazy. They can see. They can see your life. Hallelujah. They can see it. So salt speaks of inward character that influences a decaying world. And our world is decaying all around us. It is. Faster than you could even admit or even acknowledge. I'm telling you, all you got to do is just listen to the news. A little bit anyway. And you'll see how dark things are getting all around us. This World Economic Forum is predicting, listen, that by 2030, that's what, 7 years from now? Probably less than that since we're at the end of December. By 2030, we'll be at a one world government situation. 7 years. Come on now. And look, these aren't Rudy Poop people. These are folks that's controlling things. These are folks that's got more resources than you and I can even count on a calculator. They're predicting and they're coming together, and their goal is to move toward one world government by 2030. Now, if they're successful, do you think everything's going to stay the same for you? I don't think so. One of the things that they're going to have to do, they're going to have to do something with those Christians. Gets quiet in here now. They're going to have to do something with those Christians. The third time. They're going to have to do something with those Christians. Because those true Christians is all about serving God. Those true Christians are all about hearing what God is saying and doing that. Those true Christians are all about pleasing their gods. And if you're going to go to a one world government, you can't have that. They want a world that does what the top tells them to do. Hello?
Amen.
You better open your eyes. You better see. Come on. What God wants you to see. Hallelujah. God is a good God all the time. Those who hold kingdom values will witness to those around them the reality of the kingdom. Now that's a whole different. Listen, This is a whole different topic. We could talk about it all day. Who have you been witnessing to? Who have you been sharing the gospel of Christ with? Now, I'm not talking about going and knocking on people's doors necessarily, unless God tell you to do that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about just being in your environment and seeing people go through the hard times in life and you're directing them to Christ. I'm talking about you just having a regular conversation with folks that need to hear a different message and you willingly and easily talk to them about Christ. Are you doing that? Are you doing that? Now, you don't have to answer that to anybody except yourself. But you, if you're going to be on God's side, be on God's side. Amen? God will put you in a situation to talk to somebody that don't have nobody else to talk to them about God. All of a sudden, come on. It might be on a bus somewhere. It might be anywhere. It might be on your job. It might be in your family's home or wherever. But maybe you're the only one that could share the tenets of Christ with them. Are you doing it? Are you doing it? Or are you just trying to live for pleasure? Come on. And if you're just trying to live for pleasure, somewhere in the scripture it says, you fool. You fool. Because the end result of that is eternal hell. And nothing, I don't know any other way of saying that. That's the end result of that. Eternal hell. God is a good God all the time. The doctrine of the gospel is also salt. Just the word of the doctrine and how people get saved, that's also salt. And it's penetrating, quick, and powerful. Let me take you to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, that talks about the doctrine of the gospel. Now keep up with me. Don't get weary, amen? Don't get weary of well-doing, of hearing the word of God. God wants you to make a change in what something you're doing. Are you willing to make that change?
Amen.
You don't have to worry about me telling you what the change is. God will come right to you, and he'll tell you. He'll tell you, you need to change this. You need to change that. You need to go this way instead of that way. Are you willing to do that?
Amen.
Or are you just not willing to let go of that pleasure? Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I got to just laugh. You say, well, that boy going crazy up here. I'm just laughing. No, I'm laughing at me. I'm just laughing at me. I'm laughing at the number of days that I sat at a bar stool just drinking. Just drinking. Before I got saved, long time ago. Just drinking. Just drinking. And I'd sit there, and at first I'd tell myself, well, I'm just here drinking. I'm going to pick up somebody tonight. Yeah? And then your eye catches some crazy lady, you know, you say, okay, that's the one. And then you get to talking with her. And she seems like she's going to go your way. And then all of a sudden you tell yourself, I don't be bothered with this.
Amen.
Well, if you won't be bothered with this, what are you doing? See, what I was really doing and not knew that I was doing, I was waiting for God to tell me something. Even though I didn't know God, I knew that what I had just wasn't good enough. I knew that no matter how much I drank in that bar, listen, it wasn't going to fulfill something that was inside of me. And I didn't know what it was. I knew that if I could, I'd leave that bar with 20 ladies. Listen, it wasn't going to fulfill whatever it was that I was yanking and hurting for inside. I knew that. But I didn't equate that to mean God coming in my life. So I didn't know to ask God to come in there. I just didn't know. At the time, I didn't know anybody that was saved. Hello? But you may be feeling that same emptiness. Keep doing the same foolish stuff, whatever it is you're doing, and knowing that it's not enough.
Amen.
I can tell you right now, the only thing that's going to fill that void, the only thing that's going to be salt in that situation for you,
amen,
is a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Somebody say amen this morning.
Amen.
Hebrews 4:12 talks about the word of God. It said, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrows, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That word of God is so powerful. It'll change your life. It'll change your life. As a matter of fact, the doctrine of the gospel in the word of God, listen to me now, reaches the heart. You really get that word in you, you're going to change.
Amen.
There's no doubt in my mind about that. You're going to change. Now, during this Christmas season, listen to me now, during this Christmas season, God wants us to examine ourselves as disciples, as people who have accepted him as the Lord of our lives. You know, he says, are you really a disciple? Are you really being a salt to those around you? Because everybody that know you will confess, yes, that man or that woman is saved. I know they say. Will they say that about you? A lot of times we go around telling people, well, I'm saved, you know, whatever. But then people behind your back are saying, well, I don't know about that person. I don't know about him. I don't know about her. They don't act saved to me. Is that you? And if it is you, listen, God is saying, listen, you got to get saved so that salt will penetrate those people that's around you. There's three main functions of salt. Now, it was Jesus that said that we're to be salt and light. There's three main reasons or functions, rather, for salt. First of all, salt is to give flavor to something, to change the flavor of something. Salt is a powerful seasoning. A little pinch, we talked about that earlier, a little pinch will change the taste of a big pot of food.
Amen.
Now, how does that work? I don't know. Your presence as a child of God should make things better for everybody in your environment. Is everybody cussing you out? Is everybody wishing you didn't come around? I've never heard a person say, I wish I hadn't put salt in there. Why, did you put too much? Nah, I just don't like the salt. I just don't like it. I wish I hadn't put that. I wish the salt hadn't come around. Are people saying that about you? Your absence should leave your environment lacking something when you're not around. Maybe it's wisdom that's not there anymore. Maybe it's love that's not there when you leave, that's not there anymore. Maybe it's discernment that's not there when you leave. Something, when you leave, your absence, come on now, should leave that environment lacking something. If the environment's not lacking something, then what did you give to it? What did you bring to it? Did you bring salt as a child of God? There's something, I wish I can explain it to you, but there's something about being saved. There's something about being saved. Hallelujah. You know, one of the things that we need to do as children of God is no matter what you come in contact with, we need to be truthful to ourselves. We need to ask ourselves, is what I'm doing or what am I, or if what I'm about to do, does that line up with the will, the way, and the word of God? Is this something that I know God wants me to do? Hello? 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 If you can imagine with me just for a moment, I try to use your imagination as much as I can. If you can imagine just for a moment, me, saved person, whether I'm a pastor or not, you know, I'm going to somebody's house, maybe an old friend of mine's house, and he takes me in the garage and he says, hey, and he says, I got something for you, Dan. And he brings out this box, and in this box is nothing but pornography. You know, I try not to look at it. You know how we do. You know. And maybe I pick one up and I start thrumming through it. And then I pick another one up and say, oh. I said, well, let me just see what the third one looked like. And I picked that up. Hallelujah. What would you say about that man that said that he was saved? And he's going to just engorge himself with that kind of stuff into his spirit. I know what you would say. You say, something wrong with you. You don't really have what you Thank you, God. Amen? Because see, as soon as I recognize that it's pornography, there needs to be enough salt in me, enough godliness in me to say, no, I don't want to be bothered with this. I thank you for your offer, but I don't want to be bothered with this. Are you with me? I don't want to be bothered with this. You know when something's not of God. You know it. You don't need to carry no preacher around with you. You know it. You don't need to carry the Bible around with you. You know it. You say, well, I can't help it. He said, I can't help it. I just, you need to be saved. You need to be delivered. If you can't help yourself, ask God to deliver you. Amen. That's all you got to do. God is a good God all the time. The second thing that salt does for us, salt creates thirst. Everybody say that. Salt create thirst. Come on, everybody. Salt create thirst. As followers of Jesus Christ, we should be like salt in that we should create a thirst for greater information. See, when people get around you, it should give them a thirst to hear more about God, to get greater understanding of what this whole thing is all about, being saved. When a person sees your lifestyle or my lifestyle, they should be thirsty to find out why we are different. They should be. They should be. They should be. They just should be. I told that story before how when I first got saved and my previous wife was working at a telephone company and her co-worker was saved. As a matter of fact, her and her husband were pastors of a church. And my previous wife invited the pastor over to my house, and I was a drinker at the time, and I had told her, I don't want that man come to my house. All he's going to talk about is church. And sure enough, you know, I mean, but the guy, let me tell you something. I'm going to just take a moment to tell you. The guy never talked about church. He never did. And when he came over, I went and got the biggest bottle of booze I had in the house. And I set it on the table because it's my house. I drank what I want in my house. I know he was a preacher. But you know what the guy did? He just showed me love. He was so patient with me. He never criticized anything I did. He never did. He really never talked about the Lord. Why? Because he displayed the Lord in his character. He did. Pretty soon, you know, he started inviting me to go out to play handball with him. And, you know, I was young enough to do that back then. Hallelujah. And I went. A couple times a week, I just went. And the guy never preached at me. He never preached at me. He never told me what I ought to do. He just showed me love. And that, you know what that was? That was salt. Amen. He didn't understand what he was doing, but he was seasoning up my life with that salt. And I just got so close to this guy. He never told me about I need to get saved. Never, never. But it was just his whole demeanor was so full of love and patience. I could see that he was concerned about me. And it was just a matter of time before I was asking him questions. Because really, I was just sick and tired of being sick and tired of my old life. But it was his love. It was the salt in his life. Can God say that about us? Can God say that we display that kind of salt in people's lives? Or are we always arguing? Are we always batting people in the head? Or what are we doing there? What? What? People should have a thirst for the Lord when you come around because of that love or whatever it is that you got. Thirdly, salt preserves from decay and corruption. It does. See, we must live a moral life. I'm talking to all of us that have confessed salvation in here today. You don't have a choice. You don't have a choice. You don't have a choice if you're going to be saved. You must live a moral life. What are you talking about, moral life, preacher? I'm saying just do what's right. Amen. You ain't crazy. You know what's right and wrong. I don't know what's right or wrong. Then you are crazy. Just do what's right. Look at somebody and tell them, just do what's right.
Just do what's right.
God's a good God. Salt operates internally in the mass with which it comes in contact with. I believe it's the love of God in us, and I mentioned that a minute ago, that operates as salt, changing people from the inside. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So remember those three purposes of salt and what it functions, rather. First of all, salt gives flavor. Salt creates thirst, and salt preserves from decay and corruption. But the second thing Jesus told them on that mountain is not only that there to be salt, but there to be light.
Amen.
There to be light to their environment. Hallelujah. Why do you think God saved you and left you here? The best thing he could have done is just save you and let you come to heaven. But why? He wanted you to be salt and light of the environment in which he allowed you to live in. Other than that, there's no reason for you to be here. There's no reason for none of us to be here. I know personally, I know I would rather just go on to heaven. It's got to be better. Everything we heard about it is better. So why would I not want to go to heaven? But because there's people that you and I have to affect. There's people that you and I have to be light and salt to. That's why we're here.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But if you turn off your light, and you stop being salty. Hallelujah. What good are you? What? That's a question to answer. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through 16 says this. He's talking to us. He says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. I like that part that says a city that is set on a hill cannot be healed. What does that mean, preacher? Let me tell you what that means to you. Listen, right quick, like. Listen, that means you can't hide. Everybody sees you. You say, well, I don't go to too many places. Somebody sees you. Somebody somewhere see you. You can't hide.
Amen.
How you gonna hide a light? You can't hide. Hallelujah. God's a good God. Verse 16. So God said, because of that, let your light so shine before men. Why? That they may see your good works. And what? And glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Somebody's gonna see what you got, and they're going to want it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, one of the things that comes to my mind is that you learn to listen to God or hear God and obey God, you're always going to have more than enough.
Amen.
You're always going to have a decent lifestyle. You're not going to be a beggar anymore if you used to be a beggar, because that's how God treats his children.
Amen.
And you don't have to figure it out. You're always going to have more than enough. And people are going to see that. That's what he's saying here. Hallelujah. Jesus said in John chapter 9, verse 5, he says, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world.
Amen. Amen.
A light is meant to shine and to give directions. Hallelujah. The light of Jesus Christ operates externally, outshining all that it reaches. God says you and I are to be the salt and the light and the salt, the salt and the light. That's who we're supposed to be as disciples. Now, if you say you're saved, come on, why don't you be a disciple of Christ? Why don't you just start displaying, hallelujah, a character that God would have you to display to the world, to the people in your neighborhood, hello, to the people in your local church, to the people on your job, wherever you're at. Why not? Why not start now? Light speaks of the outward testimony of good works that points to God. Everything we do, now listen to this. Everything we do should say, this is the way.
Amen. Amen.
Let me say that again. Amen. Everything we do should say, this is the way.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Do you want folks following you doing what you're doing? If not, why are you doing that? Why are you doing that? Well, I can't help it. Then ask for deliverance so that you can be salt and light for God. Hallelujah. Our lives must shine like Jesus. Light radiating people live how? So that others see their good deeds and give praise not to them, but to their Father in heaven. Come on now, if you say you're saved, act like you're saved.
Amen.
Act like you're saved. And if you're not saved, get saved. Come on now. Get saved. Or what? Or go to hell. Nobody don't like to hear that. Well, I ain't going to hell. I'm a good person. Get saved or go to hell. Huh? That's tight, folks. That's tight. And you know what makes it tight? The thing that makes it tight is that we're making a decision, not God. Not God is saying, okay, I'll take this one. I'll reject that one. I'll take this one. I'll reject that one. No, we're making a decision. Who are you going to serve today? You going to serve God or you going to serve the devil? You choose. You choose. You choose. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And in 2 Chronicles, it says, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen? There's several main reasons. I can smell that chicken. We're getting ready to eat, folks. Hallelujah. God is good. There are several main reasons why lost people need the light that you and I have. See, if you're saved, you already got saved. Now we got to live a lifestyle that draws people to God. We've got to live a lifestyle that makes people want to have God. We got to live a lifestyle like my handball partner, you know? Just so much love in that young man. So much. So much. I mean, I just had to be drawn to him and then ultimately drawn to God. So much. Never criticized me. Never. Never. Ever. 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 You know, after about the second or third time that young man came into my house, you know, just to fellowship with me for whatever reason, I never brought out another liquor bottle.
Amen.
I didn't. I had it, but I didn't bring it out. And I think that was the respect I had for him then because of the love. But if he came to my house talking about, you shouldn't be drinking. No, you're getting out of here. Are you with me? But it was the love of God that not only attracted me to him, but made me respect him. Several main reasons why lost people need the light that you have. First of all, people are confused and they need answers, just as confused as I was. People all around you are confused and they need answers. Isaiah 26:3 says, thou will keep him in perfect peace. You know those people that minds is just all upset all the time because they're confused and they need answers. He says, thou will keep them in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Why? Because he trusted in thee. And then the people that need the light that you have are people that are living in darkness. All around you, all around us, people are living in darkness. They are. They are. John 8:12 says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follow me shall not walk in darkness. What are you saying? You ain't going to be able to do the things you used to do. That was anti-God stuff. You're not going to be able to do that. You're not. You're just not. You're just not. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, again, God put those thoughts in my heart. Listen, if you're a drinker, you don't need to stop drinking because drinking is going to make you sick. You don't need to stop drinking because it's going to waste all your money away. You don't need to stop drinking because drink is not good for your mind. You need to stop drinking so that you, listen, as a first step, so that you will not go to hell. I don't think we preach enough about hell. Hell is real.
Amen.
And it's eternal. Once you go, you do not come back. That's why you need to stop drinking, because when you drink it like that, listen to me now, you're just listening to the devil and his lies, doing what the devil tell you to do. Come on.
That's right.
And rejecting salvation unknowingly. Somehow, come on, somebody needs this. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The third reason is that people are burdened all around us. They're burdened. Matthew 11:29. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto my soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Hallelujah. You and I must show people the way. Set godly standards for your life. Do not compromise. Don't do it. Just don't do it. Don't do it. And thirdly, share your testimony. Every opportunity that you get, share your testimony. By now, the folks in this local assembly, they get tired here by my testimony. Hallelujah. I ain't told you all of it. I ain't going to tell you all of it. Amen? But God is good all the time. He's good all the time. In conclusion, our task is to keep our lives pure that we might salt this earth and hold back corruption so that the gospel can get out. Our good works must accompany our dedicated lives. You've got to live that. You've got to live this thing. Amen?
Amen.
You got to live it. You just got to live it. Both these word pictures, salt and light, actually helps us realize that the values which we hold as citizens of Jesus' kingdom are to find expression in our behavior. Why? So that our difference from men of the world will be made plain. Can everybody tell that you're saved by your actions? Can everybody tell that you're saved because of what comes out of your mouth? Can most people realize that you're saved by your thoughts that you have? Hallelujah. You have a role as a disciple, as a saved disciple. Are you fulfilling that role? That's the question we all need to answer. Won't we go to God in prayer this morning?
Thank you, Lord.
Father God, right now, in the name of Jesus, help us to fulfill the roles as being light and salt to our environment. Help us, Lord God. Help us, Lord. Father, we acknowledge that, hallelujah, we do not want to go to hell.
Yes, Lord.
We acknowledge that easily, Lord. Father God, we pray right now, Lord God, hallelujah, in agreement that if any people in our midst, Lord God, have not made that initial decision to give their life to you, Lord God, that they do so today. Now, Lord God, bless your people. Bless them. Help us to fulfill our role as disciples. Help us to be light and salt in our environment. Hallelujah. Is there anybody in here that have not given their life to Jesus Christ? And you know you have not.